terms of introduction, I'm actually a Californian living in Minnesota, just by clarification. Here is a skyline picture of Minneapolis and the downtown area, and my talk is going to be primarily focused on food and alcohol access, as well as neighborhood socioeconomic status. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Rhonda Jones-Webb, Richard Mackelhaus, and Tobin Nelson from the University of Minnesota. So there are two different kinds of literatures that have examined food access issues, and we've talked a lot about these types of challenges in the past hour. And then there's also this other literature that is examining alcohol outlets with regard to different kinds of outcomes, including alcohol use, binge drinking, excessive drinking, as well as some crimes and social problems associated with it. There's an interest in these kinds of types of outlets, and I'd like you to think about these types of outlets as some overlap. There are some underlying conditions and underlying themes that occur both in these two types of literatures. My study points out to the fact that no studies have examined this relationship between food and alcohol access. And for the most part, ecologic studies have examined the relationships between neighborhood socioeconomic status and either food access or alcohol access. And the studies may suggest that among lower-income neighborhoods, we might see a disparity, such as higher amount of liquor stores in one's neighborhood and lower supermarkets and grocery stores. So briefly, there are studies that suggest that poor neighborhoods tend to have fewer chain grocery stores and supermarkets. For example, in Powell's nationwide study, she found that among lower-income neighborhoods, there tended to be fewer chain supermarkets. In an analogous study, Romley points out this aspect of the alcohol literature, that studies have found that lower neighborhood socioeconomic status is associated with a higher concentration of alcohol outlets. So there are no studies actually that have examined the relationship between food and alcohol access. The one that gets perhaps closest to this is Zenk's study of four communities, where she found that among lower-income Black neighborhoods had four times as many alcohol outlets and fewer chain, no chain supermarkets and fewer grocery stores as compared to the middle-income and higher-income communities. So it points to this kind of question: why might there be more liquor stores than food stores, in particular supermarkets and grocery stores, among poor neighborhoods? Well, there might be some couple issues here. Retail chains may be concerned about crime rates in these poor neighborhoods, and in terms of business decisions, grocery stores may also be concerned about profit margins within these locales. In addition, other businesses may be reluctant to locate. By contrast, liquor stores with their lower overhead may choose to locate and thrive in these kinds of neighborhoods because they face little competition from other stores. Possible explanations to why we may see some of these socioeconomic gradients among neighborhoods. So this analysis has twofold aims. Is there a relationship between food access, that is the number of grocery stores and supermarkets, and alcohol access, the number of liquor stores in neighborhoods? And secondly, does this relationship between food and alcohol access vary by neighborhood socioeconomic status? We hypothesized that fewer supermarkets and grocery stores would be associated with more liquor stores. And secondly, that the relationship between lower food access and higher alcohol access would be more pronounced, more evident in the poorer neighborhoods. Here are the methods. Data were drawn from two sources: the famous or infamous InfoUSA, collected, this is a historical data set at 2002 time point, and these data in terms of food and alcohol outlets were geocoded and linked to census tract data using summary files 1 and 3 from the U.S. Census. in 2000. The census data are used to represent the neighborhood or census tract level characteristics for socioeconomic position. The study design is an ecological study, cross-sectional data in 2002 among 298 census tracts. The main dependent variable was the number of liquor stores or counts, and the main independent variables included the number of food outlets, and I'm going to get into the distinctions of what food outlets I mean, neighborhood socioeconomic status as measured by three indicators: median household income, unemployment status, and education. Here are the NAICS codes used to categorize the types of food and alcohol outlets. We included supermarkets and other grocery stores, specialty food stores, meat markets, fish and seafood markets, fruit and vegetable markets, liquor stores, and super centers. First, we ran chi-square tests among median splits of the number of food stores and the number of alcohol outlets, and I'll show you some chi-square tables to point out the relationships. Secondly, to test the hypothesis that food access would be inversely related to alcohol outlets access, we use multiple Poisson regression using PROC GenMod in SAS. And thirdly, we stratified our analysis by the socioeconomic status variable indicators as mentioned previously. So here are some basic neighborhood characteristics of the 298 census tracts. On average, there were about 24% racial and ethnic minorities that include blacks, Asian Pacific Islanders, and Hispanics. And this is lower than national averages. They tended to be more highly educated than the national averages across the US. Their average median household income was $53,000, which was about $10,000 more than the national average of $42,000, and there was a low unemployment rate. With regard to the food and alcohol outlets, there were 152 liquor stores, 301 supermarkets and grocery stores, 15 fruit and vegetable markets, and 29 super centers. And in this super center category, I included Targets, those Costco's, and the other kinds of Sam's Club warehouse kinds of stores. Here's a map of Hennepin County, and what I want to point out to you is that there are the red marks represent the liquor stores, and if you notice that in the middle right corner, that's the downtown Minneapolis area, where you see just a higher clustering and density of liquor stores. In addition, the blue bars, which are not really easily seen, I need to update this slide, are also located pretty centrally in that downtown core. And what I want to point out to those who aren't as familiar with Hennepin County, we have two major streets, University Avenue and Lake Street, which a lot of different neighborhoods reside. And if I guess I can walk over there real quickly.
Yeah. So Lake Street ends up, if you notice, these are the main lakes, the city lakes, Harriet, Lake Calhoun, and there tends to be this kind of tract of different liquor stores and supermarkets, grocery stores across this street. In addition, University Avenue, which runs from University of Minnesota, located pretty close to the downtown core, there's this kind of linear like line down the University Avenue of different kinds of businesses. Just wanted to point that out.
Here is a table that represents the relationship between food and alcohol access. And this is a chi-square test that was significant in that food access and alcohol access were positively associated in pooled analysis. Only 9% of the neighborhoods or census tracts had one or more liquor stores and zero supermarkets and grocery stores, with the majority being neither liquor store nor supermarket and grocery store. to look at the bivariate associations by socioeconomic status, among high SES neighborhoods, there tended to be more number of supermarkets and grocery stores associated with the number of liquor stores. By contrast, the poor neighborhoods did not have this association in unadjusted models. Again, in addition, when I stratified by education level of neighborhoods, we see the same relationship. Moving on to the adjusted models, to test the relationship between food access and alcohol access, the number of supermarkets and grocery stores was positively associated with the number of liquor stores. So more meant more. After adjusting for education, household income, unemployment, commercial land use area, population, and racial ethnic composition. And the separate models, when I included fruit and vegetable markets, as well as fruit and vegetable market and super centers, diminished the relationship between food access and alcohol access, but the relationship remained significant. In the adjusted models between food access and alcohol access by socioeconomic status, we again, in the adjusted models, we saw this relationship that higher income neighborhoods have the significant relationship between supermarket grocery stores and liquor stores. By contrast, we did not see this in the lower socioeconomic status neighborhoods. Again, this relationship was consistent when we stratified by household income as well as education level of the neighborhoods. I'd like to point out the limitations of this analysis, that the data are cross-sectional. We've had a lot of discussion about the challenges and issues of misclassification of business outlets, as well as these relationships are maybe perhaps only generalizable to Midwestern counties. I'd like to point out that with regard to the metropolitan and rural distinctions, I analyzed it both ways as well and found this the same consistent relationships. They didn't differ when I excluded the rural neighborhood census tracts. Okay. So we found that food and liquor stores tend to cluster together in the higher SES neighborhood, and this suggests two explanations in my mind. I think about how, just in terms of economic models, businesses will try to locate and cluster with by other businesses. In addition, this might be a reflection of urban planning kinds of goals and aims brought about at the city planning level with regard to trying to develop and foster vibrant and growing areas of the cities. Future studies should examine the mechanisms which food and liquor stores co-occur. And I think one of the things that really is important to think about as we look at all these different kinds of models is that these kinds of exposures, be it number of grocery stores or number of liquor stores, should not be thought of or conceptualized in isolation of the other kinds of things that may take the dollar out of one's wallet. For example, if one has a couple bucks, they're going to have to face different kinds of decisions and may be constrained, especially in the lower income neighborhoods. And these kinds of more comprehensive pictures of the food and alcohol environment may be able to help us disentangle the complexity of why these more distal relationships are not detecting associations. In addition, it's important for these analyses to be linking the food and alcohol access variables with drinking and diet behaviors, being able to incorporate them in multi-level models. And also another point that I didn't emphasize in this lecture, but the emphasis of the things that may exist with regard to these alcohol and food outlets, that commercial land use was actually a predictive significant variable in my models with regard to number of liquor stores. And so it may be important to understand these other kinds of patterns of urban planning.